Hi, I'm Professor Prithviraj. I teach consumer psychology, brand management, and media communications to MBA students. My field of research is in media and consumer mind. I do not have much to talk here, although my colleague in advertising and a set of my curious students have been insisting that I take on to the online world. They somehow convinced me there are many online who would find my sharing interesting enough. So, after a deliberation of about 5 years, I took the plunge for you. You. Who I'm certain have chanced upon. Accidentally. I hope you'd feel the worth of it if you choose to continue till the end. Over a period of time, I'm planning to share about tricky topics that are quite within the confines of research community or being pushed to die in their natural death, as they are potentially disruptive. Neither in the popular narrative nor in the academic line of thought, tectonic shift is a preferred choice. But one day the truth will come out and scream. As you might have well guessed, I would discuss about a wide range of topics revolving around self-growth, business, sports, relationships, and filmmaking. Quite understandably, I have a habit of not taking the usual route. As a consequence, I have gained a set of people offline who love to hate me. Yes, I mean it literally. Being my first broadcast, I welcome you. I'm a little too long here on my intro today, and hopefully I have been able to set the expectations right. Today, I want to talk about the tricky topic of fear. I want to create a four-part series on fear subsequently. I once tutored a high school girl who was outspoken, intelligent, and competitive. She was sweet and talented. She was also a good cook. The real worry for their parent was that she was not able to do well in science and maths. In fact, she was failing in those subjects. Whenever I had been there at her place, I found her run into the washroom and spent quite some time inside. She was very nice otherwise, but evaded when I asked her questions. I could see some fear in her, a fear which was driving her to the washroom, be less responsive in the sessions, and ultimately having her score poor marks. Yes, this is also a form of fear manifestation that engulfs many of us surreptitiously. But for now, let me explain how fear happens. Our brain is an information processing machine. We have sensors all around that provide the machine with direct information. However, all information need be processed before full understanding can be arrived at. Information processing in our brain is not instant. Sensory information processing is very, very fast, but of course takes a while depending on the complexity of the signal and the strength of the signal, among other factors. The processing speed also depends on our past experiences of going through similar situations. In general, the time taken for complete processing is more than a second to a few seconds. Now, imagine a situation. You are going through woods for adventure in your summer holiday and you step on a sleeping anaconda without able to make out any difference between an anaconda and the forest floor. What next? See, you already missed it. You missed the sleeping anaconda. You will take a while before your information processing machine identifies that the informed slippery object you laid your foot on is a serpentine beast. The plot thickens. Would you be the dinner to the serpentine creature crushing you up and then gulping you up in from the top like what you see on a Discovery Channel and National Geographic? Well, no. If you have really faced such a scenario, you'd not be eaten right away by it unless the anaconda was already targeting you. So, what happens in the melee? What happens in between the moments is something very surprising. In a split second after stepping on the anaconda, you will run away from it. Yes, most likely than not, you will run away. You will run away because you are set in a flight mode, flying away from the danger, only to realize later that you are running for life. Yes, even before you know and realize you have stepped upon an anaconda, you will start running away. You are cautioned by your information processing system that danger is lurking underneath, and without your conscious involvement, you have started your flight mode. Your flight mode just got activated and driving you away. All within a matter of 1/4 of a second, approximately. Is it programming? Yes, it is. It is programming. But how and why? Our brain has a small but highly connected processing structural node that intakes all incoming signals and looks out for danger signal. It is localized at a deep region as a pea-sized object called amygdala. It weighs in every incoming signal coming into our brain. Yes, every incoming signal for threat and create a rough cut, very speedy computation of danger or not. In case of the anaconda, the slippery sensation carried from your foot combined with your higher alertness of being in the forest, plus from the possible relative calmness of the surrounding area, and possibly the mildly awkward smell in the air, your amygdala would have more likely than not have interpreted the combination of all the signal as threat, red light on, all interpreted in a matter of fraction of a second. Once detected as a threat scenario, it will activate your danger switch without your full knowledge and consciousness. Once the danger switch gets activated, you will get into a completely different emergency mode. The bodily system is taken over by the emergency control mode now. This is called sympathetic system. Rather than your conscious decision-making taking control of your body while you are awake, now your emergency mode is taking control. The sympathetic system, once activated, further activates the bodily system through a series of electrochemical impulses and hormonal releases. To face the impending doom, adrenaline is released to fast break down sugar into energy to give muscles the power. Your pupils in the eyes dilate to see things better. Your muscles warm up and you sweat to address your expected heated actions even before you act out. Your heart beats faster. Possibly now you know something is wrong, yet not knowing what is wrong. You feel heavy on stomach, the goosebumps. Since we are biologically programmed to identify danger signal, the sooner we recognize a threat, the higher the chances of survival. However, it has its flip side. What if the interpretation of danger is wrong? Like while your friend's playing a prank on you. It is also the reason we find it so difficult to remain calm in front of an impending threat, knowing very well that being calm would help us deal with the situation better. It is also the reason why many of us feel so underconfident just before the exams, even though preparations have been excellent. In order to understand that, we have talked about the statistical understanding of false negative and false positive, which I will explain in another episode. Surprisingly, logically speaking, there are higher gains than losses even by misjudging normal neutral signals as threat signals. Therefore, statistically speaking, the bias is healthy. The bias has evolutionary advantage. Now a big question comes to our mind. What happens if someone has to live constantly under threat, like residing in a snake-infested area? Well, there is no single answer to it. It all depends on the individual coping mechanism. Some may shift the bias little positively such that he or she is not triggered any time or every time at the slightest hint of threat signal. Some may actively train to defend. Others may simply move out of the region, being unable to cope with. Some other may even try to undertake crazy scientific research to find a vaccine to overcome it for good. Can we now come back to the girl who was dodging me while studying? For the girl I was tutoring, I believe you have come to realize was interpreting my visitation at her place as a threat signal. Why? That is in another episode. So, she was having a need to release herself as a reaction, therefore had to visit the washroom. She needed to make herself lightweight and be prepared to take the flight mode for what she was interpreting as an apparent danger coming. Psychologically speaking, she was preparing for a misinterpreted threat from me or from the other factors that is connected in my relationship with her and her parents. In the subsequent episode on fear, I would like to talk about what could be happening in her that she is interpreting my presence in front of her as a serious threat signal. Fear has many shades, and threat objects are not always easily identifiable. Well, so far so good. Let us keep the rest for subsequent episodes. If you think this has been an eye-opener for you, I would be very grateful if you connect with me and give me a feedback. I want to start from what is going on inside each one of us to explain what the collective world outside is like. We can better explain what is going on in our collective outside world only if we know the origin. The origin, most often than not, is in our mind. In my podcast, I'll try delve how our mind plays a part in which it is not completely rational, along with the best scientific explanation available with us. Shifting through these research papers that are gathering dust. Stay short. Thank you for being with me thus far.